Good morning, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio. I'm the host of Faith in Action, Joanne Fox, and I must tell you, I am so pleased that you made the decision today to set your dials to Channel 88.1 FM and are joining us for this show. And as you know, a lot of this show is about me, so I'm always bringing in my good friends to talk about things that I think are interesting and I think that the listeners would think are interesting as well. And so I'm going to come right out of the chute and I'm going to ask a question. Did you know there is a mission in Northeast Nebraska serving two Native American tribes? And secondly, Jeopardy question, did you know there is a Catholic saint who came to Nebraska and founded this mission? Quite honestly, I know the answers to these questions, so I could possibly do well on Jeopardy. And thirdly, did you know the missionary Benedictine sisters, and we have some of those lovely women in the Diocese of Sioux City, have served this mission for 75 years? So, a lot of times this show is just enlightening you about stuff going on in the Diocese of Sioux City, but we also have our very good friends in the Archdiocese of Omaha who are in our listening area, in addition to the good buddies up there in the Diocese of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and we welcome all because we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and the Missouri River does not preclude us from interacting with each other. So, in the studio today, my guests are Father Mark Barron, and he is pastor of that mission in Northeast Nebraska, as well as we know many priests also have a number of other parishes, and Becky Meyer, who is Director of Development for Winnebago. And we're going to talk to both of you about what's going on there. So welcome to the studio to both of you.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Joanne.
Yeah, it's great to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Good to be anywhere. Yeah. So I think we were joking before we went on the air that I told one of my friends that I was doing an interview with Father Barron for the radio show, and she squealed immediately. She said, "You were interviewing Father Robert Barron?" And I said, "Oh, we could only wish, but I have the second best thing in the studio."
There you go.
So, Father Barron, perhaps you could clarify who you really are.
I have been confused for him a couple times. Like when I call Catholic organizations, like when I'm ordering something for the church, I'll say, "Hey, this is Father Barron." They're like, "Are you that Father Barron from Chicago that is now a bishop in California?" And I'm like, no. Not even spelled the same. But instead, I'm Father Mark Barron. I'm the director of the St. Augustine Indian Mission in Winnebago. I'm also the pastor of, I'm going to list them off. Okay. Not to brag, but there's a list. St. Cornelius in Homer, St. Joseph's in Walt Hill, and Our Lady of Fatima Church in Macy. The heart of our ministry is the two tribes, the Omaha and Winnebago reservations in the northeast corner of Nebraska. I've been a priest. June 1st, I'll celebrate my 20th anniversary as a priest.
Oh my gosh, were you ordained when you were 18? So young.
I was as young as they come. I was 26 when I was ordained.
Oh my.
So pretty young. And so I've been a priest of the Archdiocese of Omaha these past 20 years, and I never imagined I'd be on a Native American reservation. I didn't even grow up in Nebraska.
Where did you grow up?
Well, my parents are originally from a rural town of Howells, Nebraska, but it took six states to make our way back. So we grew up I was born in Arkansas. I went to high school in Los Angeles. And then right after high school, we moved to Fremont, Nebraska. Nebraska's my home ever since. So I didn't grow up with like fourth grade Nebraska history classes. So I didn't know all about the tribes of Nebraska and the reservations. But here I am living on one, and I'm so glad that God called me to be here.
That's great. Becky, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. And again, listeners, you know I always bring my friends on, and Becky and I go way back. It's got to be more than 20 years when you were involved with Junior Achievement, and my son was also participating in Junior Achievement. But I think even before that, your husband Bruce Meyer and I collaborated on photography work.
Oh, that's right. And Lamb Productions and Community Theater. And yeah, we do go way back. It's true.
Yeah.
As Joanne mentioned, I started my career actually with the Boy Scouts of America here in Sioux City. So I have a little bit of not-for-profit experience. then switched to junior team, and I had wonderful times there. And then we merged that organization with Omaha. So if people are interested in that, they need to contact the Omaha office. And then I spent a little time at Bishop Heelan. So I had a chance to renew our acquaintance through Catholic activities, Joanne. And then I did a little bit of time at the Community Action Agency, which I'm really very fond of their mission. But then the opportunity came to go to St. Augustine's, and or St. Augustine's, if you prefer. Mm-hmm. And that I really had to give that a shot, because that I'd always had my eye on that back, you know, when Father Dave Korth was there, as you know. I really was interested in the mission. In fact, we were involved with them through Junior Achievement, so I knew some of the people and some of the goings on over in Winnebago, and I've always was very intrigued. And so when I was offered this opportunity, I felt blessed, and I've been feeling that way ever since.
Terrific. Yeah. I think everyone is always interested in one's faith journey. Mm-hmm. And Father Mark, maybe you could talk a little bit about that. What, like you said, yeah. You were pretty darn young when you were ordained. I mean, yeah. It sounds like you perhaps discerned a vocation rather early in life.
Well, how long of a show do you got? No, I won't take up that much. But I grew up in a very faith-filled family. I didn't realize it until I was in my 20s that my parents had a very powerful experience on a Crucio weekend when I was right around the time I was born. And it really awakened their faith. And so they always made sure we went to church, and my mother would try to get all me and my five brothers and sisters to like pray a rosary during Lent, which God bless her for trying to do that, because it was always a crazy mess. But she would have us around the table praying the rosary every once in a while during Lent. And so my parents and my grandparents have always been a great inspiration in terms of my faith. But like every other kid, I was dragged to church, you know. But then in college, I went to Wayne State College. I went straight from Los Angeles in high school to Wayne State College.
Boy,
in
that's
Northeast
culture
Nebraska.
Shock.
It was a big change. Luckily, I had a few cousins there, and I ran track and cross country there, which helped with the adjustment. But there I was at Wayne State College, and right before my senior year there, I decided to get involved in my faith for the first time. And I lived in the house where the Catholic Newman Center was, where one of the sisters, one of the missionary Benedictine sisters, was serving there at the time, serving the campus. And I found my faith really come alive. My prayer life really took off. And then it was during that senior year that I had a sleepless night where it was just very, very clear to me that if I didn't look into the priesthood, I was going to regret it the rest of my life.
Wow.
To where I needed to know if God was calling me, great. If God wasn't, that was great. But I didn't want to have any regrets in my life. Now my twin brother, I have a fraternal twin brother, Mike. He says he always knew I was going to be a priest.
Sometimes our loved ones know us better than we do.
In fact, when I called him, when I started thinking about it, first thing he said was, "It's about time."
Wow.
That was the first words out of his mouth. And ever since then, just my faith has grown, and I just feel more and more at peace. I remember waking up a year into the seminary one morning, like asking myself, what else would I rather do? And I couldn't imagine doing anything else except becoming a priest. And it just filled me with so much peace. And that's when I knew kind of for sure that this was the path that God had for me.
Yeah. And Becky, you kind of alluded to the fact, you know, that you've always been drawn to nonprofits and some of them with religious connotations to it. So what was it about St. Augustine's, which is the pronunciation I prefer, that resonated with you? You said to yourself, you know, I need to kind of maybe connect with these folk.
I wish I could tell you there's one thing. Lance Morgan is really interesting to me, and he's done so many wonderful things. And I've known about the Native culture, Native history, only in a superficial way. But I've been drawn to it and wanted to understand more and know more about it. And I think, like I said, that Lance Morgan, his ability to position the Native tribes in a way that, that benefits them financially has is really intriguing to me. But as far as on the Catholic side, I really appreciate the work of the mission, and the fact that we're walking in this, the footsteps of a saint is really appealing to me. And it's a delightful experience to work with sisters and priests every day. I feel blessed by that. So there wasn't any one thing, but there were many things that, that drew me in as far as the organization. And all of the training and experience I had, I thought, how would I like to use that at the end of my career, if you will? And I thought that this would be something that would be very gratifying. Father didn't mention that we also have a thrift store and a food pantry, so it's a full ministry. So assisting Father with his ministry is very, very gratifying.
Yeah, I just want to make mention, you said Lance Morgan, and for listeners who maybe aren't familiar with Lance, and I can't imagine that they wouldn't be, Lance is a CEO of Ho-Chunk Incorporated, mm-hmm. which has done remarkable things in the tri-state area. But my favorite Lance Morgan story was when he was president of the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce, and he was up on the podium and thanking everybody, and he said something that so resonated with me, and that was, His children were talking to him about what he was going to say, and they referred to him as Ho-Chunky, and that was because, you know, he has a little girth on him. And I thought, isn't it true? Our children always remind us just who we really are. So, listeners, you have to stay tuned, because we will be right back after we give a shout-out to our underwriters and sponsors and all those folks who support us, because we are going to have a lot more information on St. Augustine's Indian Mission there in Winnebago, Nebraska. Welcome back, listeners of Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. You are listening to Faith in Action. I'm your host, Joanne Fox. And again, I am so pleased that you made the choice to either join us right now, or if you've been with us from the top of the hour, I'm so glad you stayed tuned. So we did answer the two questions at the top of this show. There is a mission in Northeast Nebraska. It is St. Augustine's, and it does serve two Native American tribes, and that's in Winnebago. And we are going to hold off just a tad on the Catholic saint, just a tad. So again, St. Augustine's Indian Mission in Winnebago serves the Omaha and Winnebago reservations. That's in the northeast corner of the state of Nebraska, or the Archdiocese of Nebraska. And they have something unique. They have a kindergarten through eighth grade Catholic school, which has more than 100 students at the time, bringing the love and goodness of Christ to some of the poorest communities in that area, and promoting the Native American culture and language. So, Becky, we kind of talked when we were off the air a little bit about the school. And if you could share with the listeners more information about the school, because that is pretty darn exciting what's going on there.
It certainly is. In 2018 is when I started with the mission, and I thought, well, I'll be doing fundraising and newsletters and special events and that type of thing like you normally would expect. And then Father said, oh, by the way, the school is really in rough shape and we're going to have to build a new one. And I said, awesome. And so we set out to work with a consultant to see just how much money we could raise and talk to different contractors about what the school might look like. And we just, I felt we're probably maybe going in a direction that was a little aggressive for our part of the world. And so we kind of regrouped, and we went with a local contractor. Ho-Chunk Construction is actually our contractor. And we did work with the consultant to help us raise money. But they said, well, you know, you're going to need $10 to $12 million, but we just don't see how that's going to happen. And so maybe you need to do it in phases. And I said, over my dead body. Because well, I've been there, done that already.
Yeah, we all know the phase.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. Yeah. No, I wasn't having any of that. But thank goodness the Lord listened to me, because he sent us the wonderful donors that helped us raise the money we need to build that school with cash.
Wow.
Cash, Joanne, no loans, no bonds. I mean, Father, I don't think he understands completely what a blessing that is, but I tell him every day.
This is my first building project of this kind of sort, and so I had no idea.
He's
so,
like, oh, it's easy.
Don't they all go this smooth?
No, 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 no. No, no. And Becky and I have been around a lot longer than you have, Father,
sure,
and we know
sure.
it. No, 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 no.
I've heard stories.
Yeah. Anyway, everything worked out with the, you know, like I was referring to Bishop Heelan, and of course they've worked. It's wonderful. They have beautiful facilities, but it was a long journey. And so now it's all behind, and that's awesome. And it's lovely, and everybody can enjoy it. But in our case, we knew that trying to bond, getting loans and all that was just going to be a real painful experience. And so, and then we would have to have lots of committees at the archdiocese and so forth. Of course, they want to make sure that we have funds available. And so when we said, hey, we think we can do it, they went, what? Yeah, it was very, very exciting to have that, to be in that position. And our board was saying, you need to brag about that more. And I said, I can, because that is all the Lord, because we couldn't have convinced anyone to do what's happened so far. But luckily, we have a local architectural firm, Plan. They're helping us, and then Ho-Chunk Incorporated, and lots of local contractors. And so I felt really positive about that as well, that we can be proud of that. And then, of course, having the Native Company help us build the school is really, really wonderful. Now, it's been, we broke ground 2 years ago.
October of 2020.
And we've been on schedule up until about 2 or 3 months ago. And now we're starting to feel the whole supply chain business. Mm-hmm. But they're keeping us on track. And I think we'll probably open early in the fall. We were hoping by the time school would start in August, but we don't see that necessarily happening. However, we have another building. Pray that the boiler continues to hold on.
Help us out,
absolutely.
Lord.
Yes. Please do that until the very end, and then we'll demolish that old building. But we do have a place to go at least for a few more months. And so we're pretty excited about that. And it's coming along, and it's making progress every single day, and it's been fun to watch it progress.
Yeah, and Father Mark, since you're the pastor, what kind of joy are you picking up among your parishioners as – I mean, it is exciting to see a building go up. And so what are they saying to you as the pastor?
There is this excitement in the community. I think of, we have one parishioner, she's 90 years old, and she's been connected to the school. She's even had relatives that knew the saint that founded our school. I won't give away your trivia question yet.
Not yet.
Okay, I won't give it away from you yet. But yeah, she had family members that even knew the saint that founded our school. And every Sunday she drives up past the church to go see with the latest progress on the new school. And in fact, now she says, I just want to live long enough to be at the dedication of the new school.
Oh, and, my.
And that shows just some of the excitement that is around it.
So tell the listeners a little bit about the particulars of the school. How many grades will it house? And, you know, maybe some amenities that are kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, basically, we're just replacing what we have now. Our current school now has floor-to-ceiling cracks on some of the upstairs walls. So in 2017, when we evaluated our building, an engineer saw that and said, this is not going to be safe forever, which started us on this journey. And our current school doesn't even fit all of our kids. We have portable classrooms out back for the junior high, 7th and 8th grade, but also music and our cultural classes too, because our kids take Omaha and Winnebago language and culture classes. So in our new school, we'll have one class for each K-8, and then we'll also have a cultural classroom for those music classrooms. We have two teachers from the Omaha Conservatory of Music come up from Omaha on Tuesdays to teach our kids music, so we have a couple classrooms for them. We'll have a couple classrooms for special ed. About 1/3 of our kids qualify for special ed services, so we work together with the Bubba School to provide those, and so we'll have ample space for that. Probably the only big difference will be we're actually going to have a cafeteria in the school.
I was going to ask that. Isn't that interesting?
That's really the only thing we added. Because, yeah, currently we go down to the church. Our cafeteria is underneath the church. And so imagine putting, like, little kids, like first graders. They have their coats. They come in the classroom. Then they have to get in their coats on to go to music. Then they have to get their coats on to go to lunch. Then they have to get their coats on to go to their culture class. So
not
to have
to
that
mention their
all
mittens,
in one building.
The mittens and the boots and the shoe comes untied. And I had a friend who taught kindergarten. She said, I spend a lot of time dressing and undressing students. You know? So what a joy. So that means now you're going to have lunch, ladies?
Yes. I mean, we currently do. But
I know.
But at least they don't have to transport food back and forth.
Or,
yep.
Oh, terrific. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It must be just so exciting.
It really is. During COVID, of course, we were serving children in the classroom. So they weren't even having the chance to go out. We weren't really letting them commingle at all. And so it'll be so freeing to go into this new space, I think.
And the ETA on that is probably the fall.
Yes.
Right now they're school starts again, maybe?
Right now they're talking about it being done somewhere early September. And so we're planning a dedication and inviting the Archbishop up for sometime late October, early November to dedicate it. And we'll just move in sometime during that September, October timeframe.
And it's interesting because the saint
that we're not talking about.
Remaining nameless.
Yes, remain nameless.
actually dedicated the original campus at around November.
Oh.
Yeah, November 1st, 1909 was the dedication of our first school. And so we're going to have our dedication right around that same time frame. 113 years later.
Okay, 113 years. Yeah. So as you kind of reflect back on this whole process, Father Mark, what surprised you? I mean, you had told the listeners that you'd never been involved in something like this before. So what surprised you? Not necessarily bad surprise. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I guess I didn't see that coming.
Oh, I didn't see any of this coming. the surprise was the project in the first place. But also just how good people have been. I remember when we first decided to go forward with this and we set the goal of raising the amount of money that a study told us we can't, I was feeling just really overwhelmed and I was kind of freaking out.
Sure.
I was just really, really worried about it. I didn't want to let the kids down. You know, I just wanted a good place for education for them. And I found myself praying and I thought of our saint. I guess we're keeping it in mystery as long as we can.
Well, until the next segment, and then the big reveal. Otherwise, listeners will stop listening.
Yeah. But then I thought a lot of the saint that built our first school and built many Catholic schools. And I was just thinking, they can build one more.
Well,
and just spiritually, I was praying like, okay, Lord, if this is what you want, you're going to have to make it happen. And it's been amazing. We had people, like the biggest donor to the building is somebody who's not even on our list. We didn't even know who he was.
Wow.
He just called the bishop's office out of the blue and said, hey, are you guys building any schools? And he came up for the day and kind of toured the campus and became the biggest giver to the campaign. And that's how you know that it's not me. It's not Becky. It's not us. It's a God that only God can move hearts.
Yeah.
And this is all people, we're a school that's not supported by the local families. Like most places you would turn to your alumni and you would try to get them to build it. It's all donated by people who most of them may never even see the new school. Their grandkids and their kids will never go to that school. They're just giving purely because they believe in what we're doing and they believe in the families that we serve.
And that
and
is
that's,
a,
that fills my heart.
That is a powerful testament. Yeah. And so listeners now, of course, you know, you have to stay tuned because in the next segment, we are going to reveal the mystery saint. I am so glad you are staying tuned. Just be patient. We'll be right back. Welcome back, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio. It's Channel 88.1 FM. KFHC Ponca Sioux City and KOIA Storm Lake. I'm the host of Faith in Action, Joanne Fox. And I can't tell you now how excited we have been here in the studio on the big reveal of the Catholic saint who came to Nebraska and founded St. Augustine's Indian Mission there in Winnebago, Nebraska. So with me in the studio are the individuals who are going to talk about this wonderful saint, Father Mark Barron, who is pastor of Winnebago, Homer, Walt Hill, and Macy, and Becky Meyer, who is director of development at St. Augustine's and all those other groups. You're just part of the big parish conglomerate. So now it's time with a little drum roll. Woo! Father Mark, who is the saint?
Saint Catherine Drexel.
Ta-da!
Yay! Yay! And congratulations, if you got that right, you can stop by the studio and get nothing. but you can brag about it all day if you want.
Absolutely. Post it on social media that you knew.
Yes, you knew. So yeah, she found her on a mission in 1909. If you don't know about her, she's from Philadelphia. She was part of a very faith-filled, but also very wealthy family, the Drexel family. Her father was a great benefactor to many Catholic causes in Philadelphia. And it just so happens that her local priest, who was a spiritual mentor for her throughout her life, he gets moved. It happens, right, Joanne?
It does happen.
he becomes the first bishop of Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh, my.
Yeah, which included all of Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, and part of Wyoming in the late 1800s. From what I hear, he was not excited to have this vast territory. I know. There was no I-29 or anything like that. But through this bishop, her and her sisters would come out to the Midwest and would tour the Midwest and experience Native American tribes. And it really touched her heart. So much so that when she was in her 20s and touring Europe, she got a meeting with the Pope, Pope Leo at the time. In fact, within 6 months of St. Therese as a teenager visiting that same Pope. And she made a request of Pope Leo, can you send a group of religious to the United States to take care of the Native American and African American people? And the Pope said, well, why don't you do it? What, isn't that like the worst response you could possibly get?
Uh-huh.
Okay, why don't you take it on as your job? And she really felt that calling. She started the Blessed Sacrament Sisters for the Native American and African American people. She would spend her whole inheritance founding schools and other institutions for those people. For example, one of the first African American colleges in our country is it's now Xavier University in New Orleans. That was founded by St. Catherine Drexel. And she founded 60, before she died, 60 Native American schools in the United States, one of them being the St. Augustine Indian Mission in 1909.
It is a remarkable story. And Becky, you had mentioned in, I think it was the first segment, Father David Korth, who was the pastor at St. Augustine Indian Mission. And again, listeners, it shows all about me, but my good friend Richard Poole wrote a play, a very short play, about Mother Catherine Drexel. And my other good friend, Marcia Poole, who was director of the Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center, they collaborated to produce this play, which I was in. I did not get to play Mother Catherine Drexel. This is a great oversight by the director, who cast his own wife in the part. Well, it's the way it works, doesn't it? And I worked with Rex Towns, who used to be the music director here in Sioux City, John Carter, who also was an English drama director here in Sioux City, Marcia and Richard, and Father David Korth was the individual who kind of played his, and I know it's not...
we call it a flute.
A recorder.
A Native American flute.
But yes, yeah, and we had so much fun doing that, and we had a great... response. People came and they learned about Mother Catherine and her her contribution to St. Augustine's Indian Mission. And then the narrator of the whole show was Mike McCormick, who, again, God rest his soul, he did the voiceover for the transitions of the play.
The narrator.
And so, you know, again, we have all these connections, these neat connections with, you know, the Diocese of Sioux City and the Archdiocese of Omaha that a lot of people don't even know about. And Father David now is a pastor in Omaha, if I recall.
Sacred Heart.
Yes.
Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart in Omaha, and he oversees the CUES school system, which serves the inner city Catholic schools to make sure it has that presence there. And so he went from serving the Native American children to serving the inner city children of Omaha.
Yeah, we still see quite. Yeah. He's a really great supporter.
Oh yeah,
continues to be.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, not at all.
He's been really good to me.
And I should add that the photos from the calendar, our annual calendar, are at the Interpretive Center, and they're just the beautiful children. And we have we have a new photographer actually, because Father Dahl has decided that he needed to pass the baton. And so we have a new young man who's doing the photography, and he's doing a super job. And so they're there for the public to view for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. And Father Don Dahl is kind of like, Ansel Adams.
He started our calendar. Yeah.
And I, of course, met him at many Catholic media conferences, because he would come and he would talk about his years at National Geographic. Mm-hmm. And that's what I thought he really brought to those pictures of those beautiful children, is his ability to capture their essence in a moment. And yeah, I thought that was a great collaboration between St. Augustine's Indian Mission and again the Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center. And I was just down there the other day, and I saw the new guy in town who took the new pictures, because Father Dahl is not a young man anymore, and so he has stepped away. And maybe listeners might even think to themselves, you know, I've heard that name. Yes, with National Geographic, but he was teaching at Creighton University in Omaha as well. So we have so many wonderful connections with people that it reminds us what a small world it really is. But when I was down there and I was looking at these beautiful pictures again, you just stand there and your heart jumps for joy, because those children have this beautiful innocence and wonderful stuff, and then there's usually something of what they want to be when they want to grow up, and that is delightful. So again, you know, a great way to enlighten people about the mission of St. Augustine's and the good things that are going on. So I've kind of talked about, you know, I was so impressed when I did that play about Mother Catherine Drexel. But Becky, maybe you could share with the listeners, what about Mother Catherine Drexel kind of makes you go, oh wow, what a woman.
Well, because of the building of the school, I think Father's Novena was really the reason why we have the money that we needed to build the school. But this is kind of unusual. We had an event, a gala, and we usually do a little saint bracelet. And this year we decided to do Saint Catherine. And we couldn't find the emblem or the medal anywhere that was affordable. And so the gal who made the bracelets actually contacted the Church in Philadelphia?
Yeah. Or the shrine. She's enshrined at the cathedral in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And contacted them and asked if they could help us get some. And they said, sure. And they sent us to it, the medals to us with no charge. And then they also said, we have a donor that would like to give you $10,000. And we said,
okay.
Thank you, Mother Catherine. Well, and it was because we just reached out and asked for some help, and they helped us in a way that we just couldn't have possibly anticipated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and her Blessed Sacrament sisters helped me write at the novena that Becky was talking about. When I felt overwhelmed,
sure,
and I was like, the thing that got me was, okay, St. Catherine Drexel built 60 Native American schools. She's in heaven. She could build another one. That's only one more. And so that gave me a lot of peace. And through that, I just felt drawn to kind of just write a novena to St. Catherine Drexel for our new school. And one of the Blessed Sacrament sisters, her community in Philadelphia, kind of helped me edit my quotes and my stories to make sure they were all right. And so they've always been very, very good to us there in Philadelphia.
And you're probably aware of the Black and Indian Mission that's in Washington, D.C. Well, that was her her ministry, and it's still operating today. And of course, they have an annual appeal, I think, in our churches, but it's fun to visit there, because it's the place where she started her ministry. So,
yeah, and I think the listeners are going to benefit from learning about this kind of stuff. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees and the things that are so wonderful in our own backyards. And this literally, listeners, you know, because we're in Sioux City, and what are we, less than 30 minutes from you folks? Right here in our backyards, you know, a saint that was responsible for this mission thriving. And it's just a remarkable story.
Mm-hmm. In fact, the new school is being built south of our current one. So it's really actually close to where the original school was built up on the hill there above Winnebago. So the new school really is connected to her in a lot of ways, including its physical site close to where the original school was.
Okay. Any thought to calling it Mother Catherine Drexel School?
I mean, we've always been the St. Augustine yeah. Indian Mission, so you don't, but we'll definitely have a tribute to her in there.
Good.
I mean, we haven't figured out all the art, and that's the next steps of things, right? Like decorating the art. So she's definitely on our minds when we go toward to that step.
Yeah, again, listeners, we've been talking about St. Augustine's Indian Mission specifically in Winnebago, Nebraska, and it absolutely is rooted in Catholic identity and Native American culture. It creates lifelong learners and assists them to respect all life and become self-directed and contribute positively to their community. It's a remarkable story. But of course, as you know, there's more. So you must stay tuned because we will be right back. Welcome back, listeners of Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. You are listening to Faith in Action on Siouxland Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Joanne Fox, and we have been spending this hour talking about St. Augustine. I like that pronunciation better. Again, my show. I can call it what I want. St. Augustine's Indian Mission in Winnebago, Nebraska, and all the wonderful things that are going on there. We got the school. We got this, you know, great history of providing Catholic education and the sacraments to that whole area. And, of course, the wonderful saint that is responsible for the school, Mother Catherine Drexel. I like to call her Mother because she seems like she's kind of a mom, kind of like Mother Teresa. You know, nobody really calls her St. Teresa. It's Mother Teresa because we feel like she's our mother. So in the studio with me is Father Mark Barron, who is the pastor of many things, Winnebago, Homer, Walt Hill, and Macy, and then Becky Meyer, who's the director of development for the same group of parishes. And we spent the last 15 minutes kind of talking about Mother Catherine Drexel, but we need to make mention of the other wonderful women religious who also serve.
Yes. The first group to serve our mission was the Blessed Sacrament Sisters, founded by St. Catherine Drexel, Mother Drexel. But then the last 75 years, as we've mentioned, now it's 77, I think, the Missionary Benedictine Sisters have been serving the mission. Back to when it was a boarding school, I mean, they took care of the kids 24/7 during the boarding school days. We haven't been a boarding school since the 80s, but they're still in the classrooms. They're still doing the food pantries and the thrift store in Macy and just doing so much for so many people. I know the Missionary Benedictine Sisters have blessed my life. As I mentioned during my faith story, they were at Wayne State College when my faith was really coming alive. When I was the pastor in Wayne, before I came to Winnebago, they were there. They started the school and the hospital there. And so to be with them again in Winnebago is such a wonderful gift. And the big thing they're getting ready to celebrate in 2023 will be their 100th anniversary in the United States, in Northeast Nebraska, in the Siouxland area. 100 years [S2] Wow. [S1] Serving the people of this part of the United States, which is absolutely incredible.
It is. And, of course, listeners, you may well know that here in the Diocese of Sioux City, the Missionary Benedictine Sisters serve Holy Cross Parish. We love to see them at Mass. That happens to be my parish. And we had Sister Fidelis Marie on to talk about vocations. She is a Missionary Benedictine Sister. And would you say that they have a mother house, or what would we call it in Norfolk, Nebraska?
Yeah, their mother house, basically. They call it their monastery, but okay. They're based out of Norfolk.
Okay, yeah. Very good. Yeah, it is a remarkable thing when you think of 100 years, a century of service to others. It just kind of takes your breath away. And then the other thing we were kind of talking about when we were off air is the opportunities for giving. And we just had the Day of Giving. Becky, you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. I just would like to say thank you to all who supported us through the Joy of Giving Day through the Archdiocese of Omaha. That included 129 organizations that were either doing service projects or raising money for various things they needed in their church or their organization. And then, of course, for those who prayed for us during that time and continue to do so. And Joanne asked me to mention that you can contact us through our website, saintaugustinemission.org, and we would be happy to arrange a tour or just visit with you more about what we do, and of course accept donations on that site as well.
Well, absolutely, because the need is always there. And Father Barron, Father Mark, you talked about the food pantry, which again, that was another Faith in Action story we did with Michaela from the Archdiocese of Omaha Catholic Charities, which does a remarkable outreach with the food bank. And I remember interviewing Michaela, and she talked about the way they serve Omaha itself is just jaw-dropping. Yeah. But, of course, Omaha's millions of people. And so you think to yourself, well, yeah. But then somehow they just kind of transitioned into seeing this need in the Walt Hill Macy area. And next thing you know, they're driving 2 hours with their food and doing the food bank. So maybe you both could kind of address what difference that has made.
Yeah, I think it started, I don't know the whole story, but I think they started coming up. Father Mike Eckley, he's the executive director of Catholic Charities in Omaha, a brother priest of mine. He's also a former pastor of our four churches. So he had my current position as the pastor of the parishes. So the people of our communities have been on his heart. And I know the heart of all the people there at Catholic Charities and charitable organizations throughout the area. Because they see that if you're looking for the communities with the greatest need in our part of the country, it is these Native American reservations. Just even basic things like toy to the trees and diapers for kids and just those basic needs that help so very, very much. And so to have Catholic Charities come up once a month, they stop in Macy at our church first in Macy, and they'll give out, meats and food and all this other stuff and for hours. And then they'll come up over to Walt Hill, which is about 10 miles away from there, both on the Omaha reservation, and do that again for the people of Walt Hill, which is another kind of suffering town. So it's just a great gift. I mean, they really are providing food and things for people who struggle to find their next meal. Sometimes people who really need it the most, they really are serving those people.
Yeah, and Becky, you talked when we were off the air about it being a food desert, which is such an appropriate term for what's going on there.
Absolutely, and that's something we take for granted if we live within comfortable driving distance to a store. Not everybody's within walking distance, even in Sioux City, so there are issues in our community as well here. But in Walt Hill and Macy, they have to drive a long way to get to a proper grocery store, Pender, Sioux City. And so that's not always possible. And during COVID, it was impossible because essentially their communities were on lockdown. And so it was very, very difficult to go shopping. It just wasn't, it was becoming increasingly a problem. Mm-hmm. So that's when Catholic Charities stepped in and really made a difference, I think, in those two communities. Mm-hmm. And they probably aren't large enough to support a full grocery store. Winnebago's a little better in that they have some options, but people in Winnebago still have to come into Sioux City, South Sioux City, for their shopping and their groceries. It's a problem. Mm-hmm. And the Winnebago people are addressing it by promoting food sovereignty. And so the tribe has done things like they've started a buffalo herd, and they added a chicken farm, and they're doing enormous gardens and started a farmer's market, things that we kind of take for granted. And I've been in some meetings when people are talking about how they always had big gardens and they stopped. And then, of course, their children don't know much about gardening. So the public schools and hopefully St. Augustine's will do more in the gardening area for our children as well, so they can learn how to feed themselves and make sure they have what they need.
Yeah, that's really what it's all about, is that sustainability. And I remember one of the things that Michaela, when she was talking to me about this outreach and the food banks, was she said, you know what has been a joy for me is I kind of get to know these people, because a lot of them are coming back. And she said their gratitude is really immeasurable. And I think that's a perception that's lost on a lot of people, that many people think, oh, they're just there for the handouts. That is not the case, Michaela said. And I bet that you both probably have heard or seen that gratitude from individuals who, like you said, Becky, food desert.
Yeah.
We do. It's true. And, you know, we talk about the reservations, and in Winnebago, there are many people who have great jobs. However, they are also supporting maybe multiple generations in their family. And so it's not all that it appears. So when somebody comes and tells you they need food, they're honest and they're telling you the truth. They do. They need the help, and they are grateful. The people that come to us are, for sure.
Yeah. Their faith and their willingness to sacrifice for their families is, it's just like everybody else. You know, they just want to take care of their families. I was thinking of the first time I said Mass, when I just moved to the mission, first time I said Mass in Macy at Our Lady of Fatima Church. I only had 6 people there, a retired couple that work at our place, but then these 3 kids walked in. They looked like 10 and under. They just walked in all by themselves, no adults with them. And I don't know if they'd gone to Mass very often or not, because they were just really squirrely. So I was trying to like have one kid ring the bells, you know, just to give them something to do to kind of keep them engaged. So it kind of became a kid's Mass really quick. And I'm like, who sent these kids to church all by themselves? And then after Mass, I went to bring communion to this older lady who was sick and dying of cancer. And as I'm giving her communion, those 3 kids walk in.
Oh.
And they're her grandkids.
Oh my.
And she sent them to Mass. She couldn't leave her bed. Even from her bed, she was making gifts for a family that had lost a loved one. But she sent her grandkids to church.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, goes to show that fortitude and that generosity of theirs. Yeah. And the faith behind it all.
Yep. Very, very humbling. Yeah. So it's kind of a remarkable thing that we have going on here in the northeast corner of the state of Nebraska. And, we've hit on so many wonderful things, the new school, Mother Catherine Drexel, the Missionary Benedictine Sisters. And again, listeners, there's a lot more information about the mission at their website, St. Augustine Mission, normalspelling.org. And, it may be an impetus for you to consider supporting them. Certainly, if you're not able with a financial donation, prayers. You know, if this isn't a testament, this whole show, to the power of prayer, I'm not sure what is. So, again, I want to thank my guests in the studio today, Father Mark Barron, no relation to Archbishop Robert Barron, not even spells the name the same way, but I would take the notoriety, you know, that, and I believe a dollar will get you a drink at McDonald's.
Maybe,
but I'm not even sure about that anymore. And Becky Meyer, who I have known forever, and she's the Director of Development for the Cluster of Parishes. Thank you so much for coming to the studio and sharing the wonderful story of St. Augustine's Indian Mission with our listeners.
A pleasure.
Thanks, Joanne.
Thank you for having us.
We will have them back, listeners. Trust me. So that kind of wraps it up for another edition of Faith in Action. And on behalf of my executive producer of this show, Ann Reed, and myself, I want to remind you that, faithful reaction is always good, but faith in action is so much better. Thanks for listening, and God bless.